Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Christians running the race of life frequently get tripped up by matters of money. Whose money is it really? Is it mine to do with as I please, or am I just taking care of it for someone else? Christ had much to say about money, words we'll hear shortly. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is on the joy of generosity, and today, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to Christ, the Lord of our finances.
Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Have you ever thought of the implications? If you took that seriously, if I took it seriously and said, God, whatever it is that you want, I'm yours. No matter the cost, no matter where, no matter when, no matter how much. Join me one more time for prayer. And today I'm going to ask that as we pray together, that you ask God to speak to your heart. Ask him to give you a willing heart and open ears to hear his word with clarity and power. And may he take these moments and transform them for me, for those on the platform, for the choir, for every single person listening to this message. May it be direct from God as an arrow to our hearts. Ask him to do that. And now, Father, take our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of months ago, I quoted a poem at our New England dinner. I'm going to try to quote again, and I hope I can get through it. A big silver dollar and a little brown cent, rolling along, together they went. Rolling along the smooth sidewalk, when the dollar remarked, for the dollar can talk, you poor little cent, you cheap little mite, I'm bigger than you and more than twice as bright. Worth more than you 100-fold, and written on me in letters bold is the motto from the pious creed, in God we trust, which all can read. I know, said the cent, I'm a cheap little mite, and I'm not good nor big nor bright. But, said the cent, with a meek little sigh, you don't go to church as often as I. When I was younger, I used to have difficulty preaching on money in church. I can now say when I was younger. About a year ago, somebody called me and said, you know, Pastor Lutzer, we wonder if you would consider coming to our church and being our pastor. And we talked for a little bit, and then he said, you know, we have a rather large church, and we've got so much going on that we thought it would be good to have an older man come and be the pastor. I had a midlife crisis right there on the telephone. When I was younger, I used to find it a little difficult speaking about money because I always knew that there were some people who were going to sit there and say, I just dare you to get a cent out of me. But now that I'm a little older, I love it. I love it. Because I know that people who are generous enjoy it, and it is the stingy folks who are saying there, you're not going to get a dime out of me. So you can tell today whether you're generous or whether you're stingy by your response to what I'm going to have to say. Now, what I'd like to do is to speak on the topic of Christ, the Lord of our finances. Christ, the Lord of our finances. What would it be like if we honestly and truly gave ourselves and our finances to God? How would we contribute to the Lord's ministry if we were serious about saying, Lord, take myself and I consecrate it all to thee? What would that mean? Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 because we have an illustration of some churches who did just that and we need to learn from them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul has been writing this letter to the people at Corinth and giving them an example of how to give because there were some saints over in the city of Jerusalem that needed some money. They were going through a difficult time, and the Apostle Paul is saying to the people at Corinth, what you ought to do is to be like these other believers. He says, like the saints in Macedonia. That included the churches such as Philippi, the church in Thessalonica, and the church in Berea. He said, what I want you to do is to be like they are. And just as they were an example to the Corinthians, so they are an example to us today. Let's look at the characteristics of those who know what it is to make Christ Lord of their finances. How did they give? Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Let me stop there for just a moment. First of all, I want you to know that they gave out of deep affliction, it says, out of a great ordeal of affliction. What kind of affliction did this church have? Well, first of all, it was persecuted because remember that these churches were islands of Christianity in a whole sea of paganism. Some of them found that their jobs were in jeopardy. Some of them were falsely accused. They were lied about, which always goes with persecution. Some of them actually experienced genuine physical persecution. And yet the text says that no matter what their great ordeal of affliction was, they gave liberally. Now, for every one of the five characteristics that I'd like to give you today, for every one of those five characteristics, I want to also debunk a lie that many people have believed about giving. And the first lie that I want to debunk is the idea that somehow I should begin to give when I've got all of my personal problems solved. There are many people who say that. They say, I can't be generous because you just don't understand the difficulties that I'm going through. I want you to know today that no matter what difficulty it is that you're passing through, no matter how deep your personal problem, what you and I are experiencing is very probably not nearly as bad as what the churches in Macedonia experienced. And the text says that out of a great ordeal of affliction, they were liberal in their giving. You see, my friend, we bring rationalizations to bear when it comes to giving. And we say, I'm not going to give until I am healthy, until this problem is solved, until that happens. And the fact of the matter is that every single one of us has problems, and we will always have problems. It is a lie to think that giving should just take place once our personal problems are solved. So first of all, it says that they gave out of affliction. Secondly, notice it says that they gave out of deep poverty, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Most of us don't know what poverty is. I'm not saying that there aren't people in America who are poor. There certainly are people who are poor, and there are people around the world today who are poor. But most of us are considered very rich in comparison to the people at Macedonia who were going through deep poverty. It was simply a matter of earning one day's living so that they could live another day. They had no insurance programs. There was no such thing as retirement programs or social security. And there was not a whole lot of bright hope for change in the horizon so far as their economic status was concerned. They were in poverty, and Paul says that because of joy, they were liberal even despite the fact that they were poor. What is a second lie that needs to be debunked? It is the idea that somehow giving is just for the rich. You know, there are people who think to themselves, oh yes, this idea of giving is very good. But it has to do with those who earn $100,000 a year or $50,000 a year or $200,000 a year. That's something that rich people do. I want you to know today that there is nothing more contrary to the teaching of the New Testament than that myth that giving is for the rich. You see, if you say that giving is only for the rich, what you're saying is that poor people can't be faithful to God. Only rich people can be faithful to God. Because it doesn't matter how much you have, it has to do with how you handle what God has given you. It's not what you do with a million if riches should be your lot. It's what you are doing at present with the dime or the quarter you've got. That's the issue. You know, we can all say, well, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it. You know, there's a story of a pastor who went to a farmer and said, if you had $1 million, would you give half of it to the church? Oh, yes, of course I would. If you had 1,000 sheep, would you give half of them to the church? Oh, yes, certainly I would. If you had 10 horses, would you give 5 of them to the church? Yes, I would. If you had 2 pigs, would you? Oh, Pastor, you know I've got 2 pigs. In other words, don't touch that. I want to say something to those of you who are teenagers and children. The issue is not how much you have or whether you have much or little, a few dollars or a few pennies or $100. The issue has to do with faithfulness with what God has given to you, because it has nothing to do with riches or lack of riches. It has to do with our love for Christ and whether or not we're going to serve Him. And that's the issue. One day Jesus was standing at the treasury and noticing all the rich people who were putting in their money. They were blowing the trumpet. There was a piece of metal that had been shaped like a trumpet, and people would put their gifts in it. And some of the righteous people would stand there putting in one coin after another, so that as people walked by, they said, oh boy, look at all the money that he's putting in. And they loved to drag it out just so that they could be seen. And then there was a widow who came, and nobody was watching her, and she gave her 2 mites. And Jesus said to the disciples, she gave more than all of them because she gave all her living. It has nothing to do with amount. It has nothing to do with riches. It's a matter of being faithful with what God has given you. The text says that out of their deep poverty, they gave. All of us feel poor, particularly around tax time. We all feel as if we're in the 50% bracket, namely that we're only earning 50% of what we really need to live. Don't we all feel that way? And yet the fact is that comparatively speaking, we are wealthy. Our problem is God does not have our hearts. Yes, my friend, it is always a matter of heart. This is Pastor Lutzer. During times of great revival, one of the greatest evidences of the work of the Holy Spirit is the generosity of God's people. Those who have hoarded their wealth, those who have kept everything that they have for themselves, suddenly find themselves in a situation that has been so electrified by the power of the Spirit that they voluntarily begin to give. You know, sometimes in poor countries, despite the poverty of the people, they are sharing the little that they have. If they have some potatoes, they share them with the neighbors and with the friends. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work that mightily in our lives, that we might be a generous people and in that way honor the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on the joy of generosity, a study of how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today we began a lesson on Christ, the Lord of our finances. Next time, we'll pick up right here. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.